So excited to be here this morning, and it's just a great day. It's finally not raining, and my parents are here visiting for the weekend. We got to go to see some, went to the Lincoln Museum and to his tomb yesterday. That was fun. I've never been to his tomb yet, so that was a new experience too. And this sermon that I'm giving today is probably the most excited I've ever been for a sermon, honestly. And it's mostly because it's just something that I've been thinking about and something that I've been coming across. And luckily, the elders had me, or I think Tim came up with the sermons that I had to give. And I was so glad to see this one on there. And I was like, yes, finally one that I'm actually going through right now. I'm just so excited about it. But so if you will, please turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And here, we'll start beginning reading verse 17. And he healed here, before this, he cleansed a leper. And this is where he heals the paralytic. And as we know the story, it's about his five friends bringing him. But now, we will read and start reading in verse 17. Now, it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find out how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up to the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." He said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been laying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed. And they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." So there are so many different things that we can take from this lesson. We could take Jesus healing or being able to forgive sins. We could take maybe the Pharisees' attitude towards him. We could take Jesus healing people. Jesus is being able to do that. But today, I would like to focus on what I get out of the lesson and what I believe is the main point of this whole lesson. And it is on those four friends that helped this man. It is on their compassion and their love and their willingness. But it first starts out saying that they saw that Jesus had power. They saw that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now that in itself is a really cool study. I mean, the power of the Lord was present. Was it not always present? Was it gone certain times? Now, we can't study about that here right now today, but I would encourage you to study that on your own and maybe look into that, because I find that very interesting. So they saw that he had power to heal them, that he had power to heal their friend. So their friend thought, "Well, I see something here. I see potential. They saw potential here for their friend to be healed, and they saw this, and they might have been thinking, "Well, this man, he can heal our friend. I've seen him do. We've heard that he can do so many different things." And who knows? It might have just been one friend. It might have been all four that had this idea. But they decided that they were going to go on a mission. They were going to go on this mission, and they were going to make sure that their friend was healed that day. So after they decided to go on this mission, they saw that opportunity at hand. Do we see these opportunities? Do we see these opportunities to help one another, to help ourselves maybe even? We need to see this potential in others. Do we see this here today? Do we see this here today as an opportunity to fellowship? Do we make sure we talk to everyone? My dad, evidently, he really took advantage of the fellowship and making sure he talked to everyone in this building today. Do we take advantage of that time? We don't see each other every day of this week. We get to see each other Sunday morning, maybe Sunday night and Wednesday night, but that's it. Maybe we could talk. Maybe we could see that opportunity and take advantage of that. Do we take advantage of our opportunity every day, every moment that we're out in the world to evangelize to others? Do we take advantage of that opportunity that we have to spread the gospel, to tell others about God and what He has done for us? I'm sure all of us have jobs, all of us have these opportunities to tell others, but do we take them? Do we see opportunities as these men saw here to help their friend? And the crazy thing is all it took was that one friend to help this man. One friend's idea, one friend saying, hey, we can help our friend today because there's a man who can help him. And he influenced the others. So maybe you can influence others as well. Take that opportunity to influence others and tell others that they have these opportunities, that we can help one another and every day. So do we see this potential in our lives to make a difference? To make a difference in ourselves and for others? There are various different ways we can study our Bible now. There are pretty much Bibles everywhere. There's Bible on our tablets, on our phones, in our pockets. They're everywhere. It's like the most popular book since forever, probably, since it was published. So we have full access to this more now than ever. One of my teachers at school said they used to have to kill like 500 sheep or something just to make one Bible, just so that they all had to write each thing by hand. And that, imagine how tedious that was. And now we have it access to us anywhere we want, anytime we want. And hopefully, we have that opportunity now, and we never have had that before. So why don't we take advantage of it? We don't have to depend on the clergy or depend on other people to tell us what the Bible says. We can see it for ourselves. And that in itself is magnificent. And also, we have various different avenues of encouraging others. We have cars, and we can go see each other. We have cars so we can go maybe to the hospital, go give someone a ride to church. We have different ways now of getting around. We also have text message or email or anything on our smartphones, and we can send just encouraging texts to one another. Just with a couple clicks, we can send a message in the morning and make someone's day. And why do we not do this? We can just simply, it'll take 5 seconds just to send one text to one person who maybe might be feeling down that day, and you can give them encouragement and help them out. We have that opportunity today to do that, to encourage one another, to lift one another up, to bring others to Christ. Also, we have an opportunity with every penny we make. Every penny we make, we can have that opportunity to use it to help someone else. Do we see this each penny as an opportunity? Or do we see it, I feel like we see each penny as an opportunity to maybe gain towards ourselves, to gain towards our own gain, or just to our own gain, I guess. To maybe buy new toys, to buy new things, to buy new cars and all that stuff. But we can imagine how much you could do for another instead of buying something really nice. You could maybe give a couple dollars to that homeless person on the side of the road. It doesn't take that much effort to do it. Yet we have that huge opportunity before us to do this. So we have opportunity every day to help one another and to help each other. We need to see the potential, and the potential these men saw, they took advantage of it. They made sure they set out on a mission. Are we setting out on a mission every day? Are we setting out on a mission every day to make sure that we make someone else's life better, to help our brothers and sisters out? Are we setting out on a mission to grow closer to God? As motivational speaker Eric Thomas said, you must capture the opportunity of a lifetime during the lifetime of the opportunity. We might not have every single opportunity every day to help one another. We might not have this. We have certain windows of opportunity ahead of us. And you might see a homeless person on the side of the road. The next day he might be dead, and you could have helped save him. I'm not saying this maybe to guilt trip you, but the window of opportunity is just so, it might be so small, and you don't know when it might close up. We must take advantage of the opportunity when we see it, when we see it in front of our face, and we must notice these. Next, it said that the next point is that they're pointed out in verse 19, they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd. These men could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd. And this is the next point. They saw a problem. There was a problem that they had ahead of them. And we see these problems every day. Whenever we set out to do something, does it just happen like that? It's so easy? No. We always have problems when we're trying to set our mind to do something, when we have a mission. And these men had that problem. I imagine this building Jesus was in, almost like a rock concert, maybe, or I don't know, One Direction concert, I don't know, whatever you listen to. About people swarming around him, thinking then he had his bodyguards, the disciples or the apostles around him, trying to keep people, maybe pushing them off so they aren't just swarming Jesus. It was packed. Just imagine how packed it would be around him. And they're like, we can't. There was four men carrying this woman. There's no way they could get through that crowd. There was no way. There was a huge problem. Just like that, we have problems today. We see these problems arise whenever we set out our mind to do something. It usually gets in the way of events going out throughout our lives. There are reasons we don't spend more time encouraging others and spend more time in God's Word. And we do this because we might say, I have to go to work, I have to go to school. Then the list can go on forever and ever. We have sports, we have our hobbies we have to do. We have all these things, all these commitments we make prior that we put over other things. Or maybe even unexpected things might come up. You might lose your job, you might get in a car wreck, or your sister might make you late for something, I don't know. But there are so many different things that could come up in our life. So many different things that can interrupt our mission in this life. So many different problems. Another thing is, we also might suffer a problem with temptation. We also might suffer a problem with just being tempted in our everyday lives, and this keeps us from accomplishing our mission in life to help others and accomplishing our mission to grow closer to God. The devil may try and lure us into sin. And hopefully this is the next slide that comes up. Okay. I try to be healthy. I try to eat healthy, and I try to work out and all that stuff. I love working out and that stuff, but whenever I open up that pantry door in the Brazil's house and I just see those Oreos sitting there, it's like the biggest, that's the biggest temptation to me, is those Oreos. And I see them there, and that might cause a problem for me. It might, sometimes I have the strength to go away, but sometimes I just cave in, get an Oreo 2 or 20, something like that. And Oreos and milk, so good. But yet, is it good for me? Is it what I want to accomplish? Is it helping me accomplish my mission of living a healthy lifestyle? One thing that I could do is, I have two choices. I can either eat it at that moment, or I can not eat it. If I eat it, the consequences would be, well, it would taste good. It would taste so good. So good at that moment. Yet, if I eat it and make it a habit to keep eating those Oreos every time I see them, it will become a habit in my life. And that habit will obviously have certain precautions. I might start to become overweight. I might start to become a little flabby and all that. because I eat these Oreos, or I have the opportunity to eat healthy. I can eat healthy. I can start eating Greek yogurt instead. I can tell you, Greek yogurt does not taste as good as Oreos. It does not taste that good. But it's okay. I mean, Greek yogurt's okay, I guess, compared to Oreos. But I can eat healthy and not get that delicious taste of Oreos and milk. However, the precautions will be much better. I'll have like 13 grams of protein per cup of Chobani Greek yogurt or whatever. So I'll have a little help me build muscle, help me grow stronger. It'll help me in my health. Where Oreos, they really won't help me. So if I make eating healthy a habit, if I make eating healthy a habit of mine, then I will grow stronger because of it. And even though I might see it as a problem. Anyway, so we might also see these as problems. And we might see that there's no way out of this problem. It's like, this is so tempting, right? Those Oreos are right in front of me. I can turn away, but no, they're right there. I can almost taste them in my mouth right now. They're so good. And we might say it's too much for us. It's too strong for us. We can't overcome this temptation. However, that's why God... Or that leads us to our next point. It's perseverance. These men had perseverance through the problem. And right in verse 19, it says, they lowered him through the roof right in front of Jesus. Those men were faced with the problem. They cannot get it. They cannot get through themselves. They cannot. These four men cannot carry their friend through to him, through the crowd. They knew it was all impossible. And you know some things might be impossible. Yet they found a different way. They were determined. These men had determination to make sure their friend was healed that day. They went up on the roof, and that in itself had to be a trouble. Imagine four men. They didn't always have staircases in those days. They didn't have staircases. So they had their four friends that with love and compassion, they might have had to go up a ladder or something. They might have had to go up a ladder. And can you imagine four people trying to carry a man up a ladder? I don't see how that's almost possible. That had to be super hard to do. So they had perseverance.
They made sure
that they got their friend healed that day. And they got their mission. They made sure they got their mission accomplished. Do we do that? Do we have this perseverance? Well, we're so driven to make sure we help one another, to help ourselves grow closer to God, to where we will do whatever it takes, get that accomplished. And I mean, those men people thought they were crazy. Imagine Jesus looking up, seeing them tearing holes in the roof. Imagine that. He's probably like, man, those men are dedicated. These guys really want this guy to be healed. And he said he saw their faith. He saw their faith, not just one person. He saw their faith in healing, trying to get this man. They knew he could, and they were determined. And it took some work and perseverance, but they made sure that they got him healed. Did we have this kind of perseverance today? So we think of all kinds of excuses. We think of excuses like, I don't have time, as I said. I have work, I have school. Well, there are always solutions. There are always ways around it. One solution is that we could wake up earlier. We could simply just wake up earlier. And if we wake up
earlier, as it says in Mark, Jesus
woke up early.
Jesus woke up early in the morning
to go meditate and to pray. He went away from the people so that he could do that.
He made a
sacrifice of sleep so that he could make sure he had time, because he knew that once he got out that day, he would be surrounded by people trying to get him to heal, surrounded by people wanting to be taught. And yet, will we sacrifice sleep? And this picture is kind of what I feel like when I wake up. This is what most of us feel like when we wake up in the morning. If we try to get up early, earlier than that, that's how I feel, honestly. So we might make a sacrifice of sleep. Christ sacrificed himself to die for us. Can we not sacrifice 30 minutes, an hour of sleep so we could learn more about our Savior? We should delight in that. We should be excited to take this opportunity and take it to the next level, and maybe just get up a little bit earlier, so that we can learn more about him. We also have audio Bibles, and we can listen to these in the car. We can if you don't want to wake up early, you don't want to look like this, feel like this in the morning. You don't have to. You can just listen to the Bible in your car, maybe. Because I mean, there's free audio Bibles on any iPhone, any iPad. And we can just do this in the car on our way to work, on our way picking up kids or something. And this is something my brother and I got into. We listen to sermon podcasts or the Bible on the way, while we're driving or something. And it helps us. And we don't like wasting time driving. So we feel like we're getting more out of our time by doing this, by listening to audio Bibles and things like that to help better our faith. Or if you don't want to sacrifice your time in the car, you want to listen to Katy Perry or someone in the car while you're driving in the car instead of listening to audio Bible, you can maybe sacrifice something else. Sacrifice just a part of your day. Instead of watching TV, maybe you could have a devotional time. Well, you might say, well, we spend family time around the TV, watch a movie or something, but how great would it be if you spent that family time doing a devotional? I'm sure it would be awesome if you did a devotion with your family. You'd get much more out of it than you could any sitcom or any TV show or any movie that you could watch on TV. So there's so many excuses for things we could do. We'll not make excuses for temptation, just like, it's so good, those Oreos are so good. They taste so good. I have to do this, or you're compelled to do this, and you feel like you can't find a way out. It says in Galatians, or 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, God cannot tempt us more than we can bear. And that God cannot tempt us more than we can bear. That is one of the best and most comforting verses ever to me. Because there's always a way out. He always makes a way out. Yet we might have to be creative with how we get out. What did Joseph do when he was faced with temptation? What did he do when Potiphar's wife wanted to lay with him? He ran away. He got out of there. He made sure he got out of there. He ran away from temptation. You might have to do that. You might have to get up out of your seat and walk away from temptation, because you might give into it unless you do that. So we have to make sure that we will do anything to accomplish our mission. We have to persevere through temptation. We have to get through it. We have to find ways out. Find a way around, ways to get up, like these men, they found a way to get up on the roof and get Jesus. We have to find a way out of temptation. And you might have heard the saying, well, God may close a door, but He will open a window. And we all hear that. But then you might wonder, what if there is no window? What happens if there isn't a window in the room? What will you have to do to get out? What will you do then? Well, that's probably what I would do. What I would do is, if I was locked in a room and there was no way out, I'd be looking around that room for something. I'd find a sledgehammer or something to try and get me out of that room. I'd bust my way through that wall. I'd make sure, I'd find something, I'd make sure I get out of that room. Or if I didn't have one, a sledgehammer, I'll punch my way through the wall. I'll claw my way through the wall. And yet, we have this perseverance to get out of temptation, but we will our way out of temptation to make sure we get to not fall into the devil's snare. Do we have that perseverance that these men had? Do we also persevere enough
to help others?
There's so many people that are sick and so many people that are in need. Do we ever send them cards? Do we ever go and visit them? This just takes a little bit of time out of our day. I started sending cards last week, and it just takes like 15 minutes a day to send a card. It doesn't take that much effort. And we can do this. We can encourage someone. We can lift each other up. They may have a need that we need to help fulfill. And the whole point of this lesson is that we need to see every opportunity that we have ahead of us. We have so many ahead of us, and yet we don't. We might not have that perseverance when we come to problems in our life. When we come to problems, whenever we set our mind on a mission to maybe we set our mind on a mission to read our Bible through in a year, and yet we don't do it. I struggle with it. I set my mind on that mission this year. I struggle with it. I'm a little bit behind, but the reason is because we get distracted. We have problems that get in our way. We have so many things that get in our way that if we just sacrifice a little bit of time. We got up a little bit earlier, sacrificed maybe a little bit of television time and read a couple chapters a day. We could accomplish this mission. If we don't have the perseverance, we can maybe run the sprint, but can we run the marathon? So today, we have an opportunity because Jesus Christ died for us. We have an opportunity today. We have that opportunity to be saved. Because He died on that cross and bore our sins, bore our iniquities, we are able to be saved today. And they haven't always had that opportunity. Over 2,000 years ago, they didn't have that opportunity for anyone to be saved like this. And yet, are you willing to take that opportunity? Are you willing to make it your goal to be saved and to be baptized, to turn away from your sins? And to turn away and not turn back. It takes perseverance to not do that. You might want to turn back, but it'll take perseverance for you to not go away, go back to your old ways. There will be problems. I will tell you that. So if you have that opportunity today to take advantage of the opportunity right now to come and to be baptized, to be saved. Or if you already are baptized, if you already have been baptized and have, yet you are struggling, and yet you are falling into sin, you might be discouraged. You also have an opportunity today to come. And the opportunity today is that you can come forward and you may tell us your struggles. You may tell us the things you need prayers for. You may need prayers. So you can come sit here and you can tell us those. And we will gladly carry you to the throne of grace, and we will pray for you continually, and we will all come and rejoice in something, or maybe even be sorrowful if you're struggling. You have that opportunity today to come forward and take advantage of the fellowship and all the love that everyone in this room has for you. But we have this opportunity today to either be baptized or to come forward if you're struggling. If you want to take advantage of that opportunity, please come as we stand and as we sing.